This art is not brought to you by the Chamber of Commerce. This is CKUW 95.
The following is an encore presentation from CKUW's archives. Join us next week when the regular host will be back with a few new episodes of original programming.
Welcome to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM. I'm your host, Dustin Rogers, and today on the program, Mother 3. The landmark third game in the Earthbound series, it languished in development hell for over a decade, moving from the Super Nintendo to the Nintendo 64 disk drive and then shell. It finally released for the Game Boy Advance in 2006. Although it's never been officially released in Western markets, that hasn't stopped the game from gaining a massive global following. Over the next hour, I'll play a small portion of the more than 200-song soundtrack that Shugo Sakai composed for the game and discuss the storied tale of its troubled development. This is Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM. Back to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM. This hour is dedicated to Mother 3, the final entry in the Earthbound series. It's one of Nintendo's largest properties, despite only the second entry receiving a physical English language release. The games have a certain formula that has been imitated ad nauseum, to the point that describing a game as an quirky, Earthbound-inspired RPG has more negative connotations than positive ones. The 2015 game Undertale was a massive success that was born in the shadow of Earthbound. On the surface, it seems to make no sense. Turn-based RPGs have, if anything, been on a 30-year decline, and less generally, 2D games have also suffered a downturn. Sprite-based graphics are a tough sell even for the most popular games that bore them. So what is it about the Earthbound games, and specifically Mother 3, that bucks industry trends to be arguably more popular today than at any time previous? It starts in 1987 with the series creator Shigesato Itoi spending the day at Nintendo's headquarters in Japan. At this time, Itoi was already a well-known celebrity, responsible for many famous advertisements and co-authoring a collection of short stories in 1981. He had begun to branch out to essays and song lyrics since. Around this time, Itoi was an avid Famicom fan, especially for the Dragon Quest series. He approached Nintendo to pitch his concept for a game in the same vein, but unlike other RPGs of its time, his pitch was set in a contemporary caricature of America, featuring characters and mechanics that were inspired by the setting. Instead of swords, the heroes would use baseball bats and frying pans to battle agitated farmers, hippies, crows, and other creatures on their way to discover the origin of a mystical science known as Psi. At the end of the meeting, Shigeru Miyamoto, he's the creator of Mario, Zelda, Donkey Kong, really one of the thought leaders at Nintendo, even back then. He didn't seem too impressed with Itoi's pitch. He said, quote, "I know it's a lot of work, but how about starting over from the beginning and making it simpler," end quote. That was hard feedback for Itoi to take. He even remembers crying on the train ride home that day. I want to say, just as a quick aside, that the more that I learn about Miyamoto, the more I come to think of him as Steve Jobs-like. Steve Jobsian, if you will. At best, he's a controlling and brutally honest boss, and at worst, a bully who takes far too much credit. Now, I can't say for certain because, you know, I've never worked with him, but these stories of Miyamoto poking holes in creative concepts, for better or for worse, appear time and time again. Anyway, what Itoi didn't know then on his train ride home was that Miyamoto liked many of his ideas. Apparently, it was Miyamoto that doubted Itoi would actually stick with the game throughout the development process. But soon, he capitulated and called Itoi back to pitch his concept again. This time, the pitch was approved, and development began on the game that would soon become known as Mother in Japan. I don't want to spend too much time talking about Mother, which released for the Famicom in 1989. This episode is about Mother 3, after all, and I want to save what I can in case Squarewave decides to go back and look at these earlier games. But what I will say is that upon release, Mother was a massive success. It sold over 150,000 copies, and gaming publications praised its touching storytelling, unforgettable music, and humor. The game even received a completed Western localization, but its release was delayed several times. Nintendo of Canada even considered publishing the game as late as 1994, but by then, Nintendo had fully shifted its focus to the Super Nintendo, and the completed prototype was shelved. It wouldn't be officially released until 2015, when it was sold as Earthbound Beginnings on the North American Wii U Virtual Console. And Beginnings is a fitting title because this game laid much of the groundwork for the rest of the series. The word that springs to mind most often is quirky. All of the way down, really. The setting, the story, the humor, the music, all of it, it's quirky. And the later games would only build on this formula. So let's take a break now to hear some examples of where this formula would end up when Mother 3 was released in 2006. These songs were composed by Shogo Sakai for that game. And when Square Wave returns, the next chapter in the Earthbound series. You're listening to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM. This is the story of Mother 3, released in Japan on the Game Boy Advance in 2006. Last segment, I covered the origins of the series up through the release of the first game on the Famicom in 1987, and already the series creator Shigesato Itoi was planning a sequel. In an interview following the release of Mother, Itoi said, quote, "I'm already thinking of ideas for Mother 2. I've got two ideas. Right now I'm wondering which will be best. A completely different story, or something close to the original. Perhaps I should leave it up to those of you who have played Mother." End quote. And when that game, Mother, proved to be a critical and commercial success, development was immediately greenlit for Mother 2, Gaiga Strikes Back, on Nintendo's upcoming Super Famicom console. That game was originally envisioned on an 8-megabit cartridge, but gradually moved its way up to a 24-megabit cart due to the size of the game's sound and graphics. Development on the game was apparently a struggle, and it was nearly cancelled after 5 years of work. The savior on the project, though, was none other than Satoru Iwata, who joined the team in the spring of 1994. Under his supervision, the game was reprogrammed from the ground up in only 3 months. In Itoi's own words, Iwata, quote, "single-handedly delivered the game to completion," end quote. When the game released in 1994 as Mother 2, it sold just over 500,000 units, making it the 10th best-selling Super Famicom title that year. When the game released in North America, however, on June 5th, 1995, under the name Earthbound, it was a commercial failure. It sold fewer than 150,000 units, and lukewarm reviews at the time also deemed the game to be a critical letdown. One American magazine described the game as a, quote, "Barney-esque romp in McDonald's Playland," end quote. And if you were alive in 1995, you remember that there was no greater insult than invoking the children's television character Barney, so that was supposed to be a scathing criticism. Other reviewers at the time noted the game's childish graphics and low difficulty level. I have a feeling that this would read a little bit differently today, but at the time, that was not what the market wanted. And Earthbound's unfortunate reception in North America, as well as the really late release into the Super Nintendo's life cycle, meant that the game would never get a release in Europe. In any other timeline, I guess that this is where the Earthbound story would end. And to be fair, despite having a small but dedicated fan base, the game fell into obscurity. It wasn't until in 1999 that many people even became aware of the title, and that's thanks to the inclusion of Ness, one of the main characters from the Earthbound game, being featured as an unlockable character in the Nintendo 64 battler Super Smash Bros. Around the time, the rise of the internet allowed those who had played Earthbound to connect and create online communities around the franchise. And the proliferation of home PCs and emulators in the early 2000s also made the game more accessible and helped it reach a younger generation of players. While these events percolated, Nintendo was quietly looking at ways to bring the third and final installment in the series to one of its consoles. Unfortunately, however, this version of the game would never make it that far. But before we get there, let's take another quick break and hear more of the music from the Mother 3 soundtrack composed by Shogo Sakai for the Game Boy Advance. I'll be right back on Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Welcome back to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. We just heard music from Mother 3, the final entry in the Earthbound series, and the metaphorical butterfly that would emerge from the chrysalis that was Earthbound 64. In the last segment, I talked briefly about how Earthbound had failed to find its audience in the West, but in Japan, the game and its spin on modern Americana was much better received, and so, shortly after the release of Earthbound, series creator Shigesato Itoi pitched a third installment to Nintendo. Originally conceived as a game centering on a small village where players would investigate rumors and gossip, Itoi was determined to break the conventions of traditional RPGs. The idea was for the player to build personal relationships with the village and its inhabitants. As the game progressed, the village would change, giving players a deeper connection to the setting. Nintendo found this original concept to be difficult to understand at first, but they were intrigued, and they decided to greenlight Itoi's vision and put the title into development. Planning for the game had begun on the Super Nintendo, but by the time it was revealed to the public at Space World in 1996, Nintendo claimed the new title would be a launch game for its upcoming Nintendo 64 disk drive system. At the same trade show a year later, fans were treated to the first trailer for the game, which was now called Earthbound 64, Forest of Strange Creatures. Supposedly, a playable demo was nearly ready in time for the Space World event, but it had to be pulled at the last minute. Those who saw the trailer for the game praised it for having ambitious 3D graphics, and many publications began to advertise the title in anticipation of a worldwide release. The same magazine that had compared Earthbound to Barney a few years prior now claimed that this new iteration would be, quote, many times more impressive than Final Fantasy VII, end quote. For those of you who are curious, the 1997 Space World trailer for Earthbound 64 is accessible on YouTube, and you can go and check it out, see what the game looked like back then if you want to judge for yourself. By now, though, the game had changed scope somewhat. Players no longer controlled a detective in one village. The story now focused on a pair of twin brothers named Lucas and Klaus. This was inspired by a trilogy of novels written by Agota Christoph called the Notebook Trilogy. In the series, there are a pair of twins, also named Lucas and Klaus, and they're separated from their mother during World War II. The boys are forced to learn to provide for themselves when their bond is challenged by corrupt authority figures. These books were translated and published in Japan between 1991 and 93, and they provided not only the foundation for the narrative of the game, but also many of the themes that would be found in it as well. Earthbound 64's Klaus and Lucas shared personality traits to the characters found in Christoph's novels. The game is set in a small, rural village called Tasmili. One day, an unknown object appears nearby, and the boy's father, Flint, goes off to investigate. Strange things suddenly begin to happen in the village, from searing crop circles and glimpses of strangely dressed people to the far-off sound of frightening screams. Soon after, the Pig Mask Army invades, forever changing the village of Tasmili and uniting the main characters. The game was supposed to span 10 years and 12 chapters, though near the end of development, this was quietly reduced to 9 chapters. After this point, development on the title goes quiet. Surprisingly, there would be a fully playable demo at Space World in 1999, this time under the subtitle Earthbound 64, Fall of the Pig King. The 10-minute demo featured Flint exploring the village, a desert canyon, underground cavern, and a forest. And it was the first time that players would see the game's rhythm combo system, which allowed for multiple attacks to be pulled off if button presses were timed to the rhythm of the background music. While the demo made it seem like the game was on track for its proposed release date of May 2000, that date eventually came and went without any news on the game. Despite help from the Pokemon Stadium team and Nintendo, and over 6 years of development time, Earthbound 64 was canceled in August of that year. The team who worked on the game claimed that they didn't want to take any resources away from the upcoming release of the Nintendo GameCube, and there was still an estimated year or more of work left to do on the title. Although the 1999 playable demo has never been leaked, some audio files from that version of the project still survive to this day. I'm going to play for you a couple of tracks from that version of the game, which would eventually make their way into the Mother 3 release on the Game Boy Advance. Enjoy these rarely heard tracks from the canned Nintendo 64 game, and on the other side, I'll introduce you to their composer, Shogo Sakai. You're listening to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Thank you. Welcome back to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This hour, we're examining the history of Mother 3, the final game in the Earthbound series, and one that, at least for now, remains exclusive to Japan. So far, we've covered the development behind the first two games and the failed experiment that was Earthbound 64. In fact, the tracks you just heard are the only surviving audio samples that I could find from that title. They were composed by Shogo Sakai for the project, which seems to be his first assignment at HAL Laboratory, the developers behind the project. And prior to that, Sakai was a composer and arranger at a company called Data East. He began his career with that company in 1987 when he was just 17 years old. He would spend almost a decade working at Data East, contributing his talents to 13 different titles across the NES, Super Nintendo, and the Sega Genesis. When he made the move to HAL Laboratory, he was assigned to be the sole composer on Earthbound 64. That meant he was stepping into some pretty big shoes. The previous games were composed by Keiichi Suzuki and Hirokazu Tanaka. They're a powerhouse duo who had already established quite a reputation at this time. Both Mother and Earthbound featured soundtracks that were, at worst, unlike anything else on their respective consoles, and at best, unforgettable, timeless scores. That's partially why I'm not spending much time here talking about them, as Square Wave may want to cover these soundtracks for the earlier games in a future episode. Sakai, however, would have to deliver the best effort of his career if he wanted to match his forebears. In an interview for Earthbound 64 in 1997, Sakai was asked how many songs he had written for the game, and he said, quote, "I think there will be about 100 songs once the project is completed in its entirety. However, about 40 songs have been made thus far. There is a main theme throughout it, too. I arranged it and put this jingle wherever I could. While the melody itself stays the same, the arrangement itself changes, so it feels like a completely different song." End quote. The song that Sakai is referring to here is likely the same one that he comes back to later in the same interview when he talks about his interactions with a series creator, Shigesato Itoi. Itoi mostly gave him free rein on the soundtrack, but came to him specifically and asked him to write this song. He says of the song, quote, "It has a habit of appearing in the scenario wherever necessary. Most of the songs were composed by myself with a refreshing approach in mind, so this is the only song Itoi-san himself took part in. I was asked to create a strong-sounding song, and I think I did a good job creating that," end quote. This song would go on to be known as His Highness's Theme, or Master Porky's Theme, and it would appear in many different styles and iterations throughout the game when it finally released on the Game Boy Advance as Mother 3 in 2006. I'll play that song for you in just a moment, but first, let's recap where we are in the story. It's the year 2000, Earthbound 64 has missed its targeted release date and was fully cancelled a few months later to make room for the GameCube. The development team was just crushed. They had done nearly 5 full years of work on the project, and it was difficult to see their work shelved. Itoi never gave up hope on the project, and he considered the possibility of turning the story into a movie, a novel, and I think even the idea of a play, like a stage play, was thrown around. A few months later, in December, Itoi was asked during a live stream about the possibility of bringing the game to the soon-to-be-released Game Boy Advance console. Itoi didn't like the idea, saying, quote, "I want to create a game that will always be remembered. I feel like the choice of the Game Boy Advance is out of the question," end quote. Imagine how difficult it must have been for Itoi and Sakai and everyone else who had poured their hearts into making this game, telling the story of Lucas and Klaus, and capping off a decade-long trilogy. At least for Sakai, he would continue working with HAL Laboratory, composing and arranging several high-profile themes for the next entries in the Smash Bros. Series. Today, Sakai is most closely associated with the Kirby franchise. He composed several games in that series. He was also the orchestrator behind the Kirby 25th Anniversary Concert Series that toured in Japan in 2017. And I didn't know this until I started working on the show, but there are Kirby cafes in Japan that play original arrangements of Kirby music. Sakai composed those as well. Of course, these projects, they all happened after the cancellation of Earthbound 64, and as you already know, like a phoenix rising from the ashes of the ill-fated 3D title, so does Mother 3. I'm going to play a few more tracks from that game now, including his master's theme, the one that Itoi specifically requested from Sakai, and when I come back, Mother 3 finally gets finished. You're listening to Square Wave on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Square Wave on CKW 95.9 FM. At this point in our story, rumors of a Mother 3 revival would continue to pop up over the next couple of years, but none of these rumors had much substance about a definitive return to the series. For a while, there were no plans to finish the game at all, but that would change in 2002 when Itoi, Iwata, and Miyamoto met in Kyoto for lunch. It wasn't a business meeting. The three had worked together for the better part of a decade and had become good friends, but Miyamoto had an ulterior motive. It seems that the idea of bringing Earthbound 64 to the Game Boy Advance had really stuck with him, and he made it his mission to convince Itoi to revive the project for the handheld. The story goes that as soon as the three stepped out of the car, Miyamoto started prodding Itoi, asking the series creator directly whether or not he was truly against making it for the Game Boy Advance. Put on the spot, Itoi replied that he wasn't necessarily against it, so Miyamoto kept on. Quote, "We could pull it off through pixel art if you're okay with that," end quote. You know, by the time this meeting was over, the lunch meeting was over, Itoi had agreed to at least meet with the team in HAL Laboratory one more time to see if they could deliver on their earlier promises. To get familiar with Itoi's vision and the work that had been done previously, HAL Laboratory set up their Earthbound 64 prototype in the boardroom. At this meeting, Itoi recited the entire storyline himself, including adding new details along the way. His vision for Mother 3 had grown in the years since the earlier project, and Itoi was all too happy to share his revised vision for the project. In a retrospective interview with Nintendo Dream in 2016, Itoi said, quote, "The Mother 3 that had been inside of me was wholly unleashed at that time," end quote. It was clear he was all in on the project once again. You know, with stories like this, I can really picture how the meeting at HAL Laboratory went. Itoi initially presents as reserved. He starts retelling the story of the game the moment he sees it. It starts slowly at first. Itoi's creative mind soon betrays him and his calm demeanor. He starts going faster, including more details, until he can no longer hide his excitement for the game. Iwata, I think, is probably taking some notes, thinking about how to turn these ideas into code. And at the head of the table is Miyamoto. He's just watching Itoi, emotionless, businesslike. I don't think he cracks until after the meeting. He probably goes back to his desk. He's in private. A smile creeps across his face. He got what he wanted. Mother 3 on the Game Boy Advance. But what, if anything, really convinced Itoi to take this project to the portable console? For starters, Itoi grew fond of the pixel art style, despite some initial challenges around adapting the earlier character models to the sprites. But there was also the realization that the smaller machine could deliver everything he wanted Earthbound 64 to be. After his initial reservations, Itoi said, quote, "At the time, I would approach all my work with my shoulders tensed, and how should I put this? Put simply, my attitude was, I want to shock the world, and I'm going to squeeze everything I can imagine, all of my creativity into this one project, as if I was working on my magnum opus. In other words, I was trying to give everyone a work of epic proportions, and that's where I failed. But recently, I've started to feel that perhaps there's a different niche I can fill. And this realization, while not the sole reason, is among the reasons why I chose the Game Boy Advance for Mother 3," end quote. The previous team who worked on Earthbound 64 did not return to the new project, except for composer Shogo Sakai. In the years that followed this initial meeting, the project was kept tightly under wraps. Although it was first hinted at in 2003, Itoi remained adamant that details on Mother 3 wouldn't be revealed until development was coming to a close. Finally, after 3 years of development, on February 7th, 2006, the official Mother 3 website would open to the public and reveal that the game would release in Japan on April 20th, just 10 weeks later. Let's take a moment to appreciate a few more of the 200 individual tracks that Sakai would produce for the game, and then I'll come back to wrap up the story of Mother 3. This is Square Wave on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Thank you. Welcome back to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM. I've spent the last hour detailing the story behind the eventual release of Mother 3, and unlike the previous iterations of the game, this time it would deliver. Mother 3 on the Game Boy Advance sold more than 200,000 copies within its first week, and went on to become one of the top 20 best-selling games in Japan for the first half of 2006. Critical reception was overwhelmingly positive. Reviews heaped praise on the game's heartwarming and dark story. By the end of the year, the game sold more than 350,000 units, finishing the year as the 36th best-selling game in Japan. It's a rarefied air for any Game Boy Advance game released after the Nintendo DS. Despite this success, Mother 3 has never officially been translated into English. Whether this is due to the sensitive topics that the game explores, or a belief on Nintendo's part that the potential profit on the niche title wouldn't outweigh the localization costs, they haven't even hinted at the game appearing in Western markets. This is a real shame, because in terms of its storytelling, Mother 3 has been called a Bildungsroman, and that's a term typically associated with literature. A Bildungsroman is a story that focuses on the psychological and moral growth of its protagonist. In a Bildungsroman, the goal is maturity. The initially naive protagonist achieves it, gradually, with difficulty, usually after an emotional loss. A few modern examples of the genre are To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee, Frank Herbert's sci-fi epic Dune, and The Kite Runner by Khalid Hosseini. I think this comparison to literature is an apt one. It certainly shows the level of care that Mother 3 uses to tell its story, and the emotional beats really do hit in the game. The loss, the sense of loss that you get throughout the game in many different ways, not just the exploration of family elements and changing technology within the village over time, those things are powerful, and they're expressed elegantly in the game. Fortunately for English speakers who want to experience the game for themselves, there is an unofficial translation of the game, one that has been greatly received by fans and industry insiders alike. So while those of us in the West hold our breath for the one day that Mother 3 might come to our shores officially, its story and its music are only just a few clicks away. All you need to do is know where to look and have your very own happy box. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Square Wave. Please join me again next week, and we'll talk about an entirely new subject, maybe a new composer this time. If you would like to connect with the show or catch up on older episodes, you can follow Square Wave CKOW on Twitter. You can check the show's archives on CKOW's website. And starting in July, you can access the show through the podcast app on your phone. Square Wave is written and hosted by me, Dustin Rogers. The show's theme was composed by Spaceman Fantastiques. Thanks again for listening, and stay tuned for more amazing programming right here on CKUW 95.9 FM.
From the heart of downtown Winnipeg, you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM.
Generous support to CKUW 95.9 is provided by Into the Music, quality collectible music since 1987. Into the Music is located in the Exchange District, 245 McDermott at the corner of King Street. To receive our twice weekly newsletter, call the store or go online at intothemusic.ca to sign up. And kick off your Friday evenings at 7:30 with us at our in-store stage for free all-ages shows featuring local bands and performers.
Do you have a bad Monday? Is your apathy catching up with you at work? Do you want to unwind to some blisteringly fast and brutal thrash? Tune into Thrash Can Mondays 5 to 6 p.m. here on CKUW.
With your CKUW Friends card, you are supporting CKUW 95.9 FM and our friends in the community. 100% of your donations go to the general operations at CKUW 95.9 FM, and with a Friends card, your dollars will get you more at
the King Cobb Market Pub at 580 Ellis Avenue, your local arts and craft beer pub. With a rotating selection of local beer, art, music, and Southern-inspired pub eats, your 10% discount on all food and selected taps makes this West End neighborhood pub an ideal place to start, end, or even be your next night out. Be sure to check out their Bella Vista nights every Wednesday for free live music sponsored by CKUW 95.9 FM. Fiercely local.
Join CKUW's community and support by donating $35 during Fun Drive in February to get a friend's card and get access to more deals around Winnipeg.